I want you to go to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start there. We're going to look at some passages tonight that I think will be a help to us. Romans chapter number 7. As believers living in the dispensation of grace today, we've been given all the tools that we need to live a righteous life. When we saw that last week, last Sunday night, we talked about the fact that we've been given all the tools that we need to do the right thing, to live a righteous life, to obey God, and as Paul said, to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. We have been placed in Christ. Say that with me. We've been placed where? In Christ. That means that we possess His righteous nature now. He's been made unto us righteousness, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says. Not only that, the Holy Spirit of God, God's very Spirit, indwells us and is wanting to transform our character into one of righteousness. He gave us His Word as instruction in righteousness. He gave us His Word. Do y'all believe this is what we need right here? Amen? That's our instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3 says. It's our instruction in righteousness. And He released us, Romans 6 says, from sin's bondage. We're no longer a slave master to sin any longer. We've been set free. So then the question is this: why then do we as Christians still struggle with sin? If all those things are true, and they are, we're in Christ, we have His righteous nature, we've got His Holy Spirit, we got the Word of God as instruction in righteousness, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. And the question that we pose is, well, then why do we still struggle with sin? Why is it that many times we struggle to live a righteous life? Do you ever feel like the Apostle Paul? Look at Romans 7 and verse number 15. Romans 7, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. You know, the law, that's not the problem. Now then, it is no more I that do it. He said, there's a problem inside of me. He said, it's sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But then he says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Anybody ever feel that way? Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but he says, it's sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me, notice, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Can anybody in here identify with that tonight? I mean, it's just so many times, I think, in our Christian life, if we're honest, we have felt that way. And tonight, I want to look at this subject. What exactly is the problem here? What are the hindrances to living a righteous life? And here's what I want to see tonight. I want to see that for every hindrance, God has the answer to it in His holy word. For every hindrance, there is an answer. That's the good news. The first hindrance to a righteous life is this: we do not fully grasp the true nature of sin. We really don't fully grasp it. The Bible has declared that all have sinned, and that we're all under sin, and that we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And it's very difficult for us to grasp the true nature of sin, the true evil and the wickedness and the destructiveness of sin. It's hard for us to grasp it for several reasons. One of the reasons is that we have always been personally involved in sin, and we've lived in an environment that's conditioned by sin. Because of that, Many times, people have a problem distinguishing between sin and righteousness. Satan has blurred the line between good and evil. He did it in Israel's day, and that he's still doing that today. He's trying to blur the line between good and evil. And so one of the reasons that we don't fully grasp the nature of sin is because we have lived in an environment that's conditioned by sin. Not only that, we fail to grasp the true nature of sin because our understanding is skewed because of our own sinfulness. You know, we tend to think less of our sin. We tend to think less of our sin in order to excuse ourselves. And I'm not getting a lot of amens. But rather than confess it as wrongdoing and say straight up, that's wrong, and call it for what it is, instead of doing that, we excuse it. We rationalize our sin. And we say, well, everybody does it. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Well, you know, I do a lot of good things. And so we begin to think this way. Our understanding is skewed. Our understanding about the true nature of sin is skewed by our own sinfulness. Not only that, but we fail to understand the true nature of sin because our awareness of what is sinful can easily grow dull with tolerance and with exposure to it. There's a word for that, desensitized. We become desensitized to sin in our own lives. We fail to grasp the true nature of sin and how wicked and destructive it is because we have become desensitized. We have grown dull to the true nature of sin because of tolerance and because of exposure to it. For example, let's see. I mean, you know, you look back 19. How many of you were here in 1950? Raise your hand if you were here. I mean, not here in this building. I mean, you were on the earth in 1950. All right. Some of you are like, no, I wasn't here. Well, none of us were. This building wasn't even thought of in 1950. All right, so a lot of hands went up. A lot of people were alive in 1950. Now, those of you who were alive in 1950, I think would say amen to this, that the profanity and the perversion, the sexual just the sexual lewdness that is in movies and on TV today would have never been tolerated in 1950. People would have been aghast. They would, but I'm going to tell you what happened. Very slowly, as people got exposed to it, they became desensitized to it, and now they tolerate it, and people, even Christians now, accept it, tolerate it. Why? They've become desensitized to it. Because of years of exposure to it. So that's one reason why we fail to grasp the true nature of sin is, and I hope you're with me now tonight, we fail, this is a hindrance. This is where I'm going with this. That there's a hindrance to living a righteous life, and one of the hindrances is that we don't fully grasp the nature of sin. Why? Well, because we live in an environment that's conditioned by sin, because our understanding is skewed because of our own sinfulness, because we've become desensitized because of tolerance and because of exposure to it. But number four, the fourth reason why we don't understand the true nature of sin is because, listen, no human being has yet experienced the full weight of sin's consequences. Hey, if we all got at this moment what we deserved, it would not be pretty, would it? We would immediately be cast into the lake of fire, would we not? If we only knew the damage that was caused by the sins that we thought we were getting away with, if we really could somehow see the damage that's being done by the sin that we're committing, we would think differently. The full consequences of sin have not yet been poured out on anybody in this time of grace. Keep that in mind. Because sometimes you read the morning paper or you watch the news and you think, why does God let him get away with that? Well, why does God let you get away with what you get away with? You see, no one has fully experienced the full consequences of sin in this time of grace. God's giving grace right now. And Satan has conditioned the world to think of sin as no big deal. It's something to laugh at. Primetime TV, movies, they delight in and they're dedicated to making fun of sin, making a mockery of it, laughing at it, thinking that it's funny. And so Satan had, we're in a world system that has taught us to think of sin as no big deal, when in reality, it is a destructive force that overpowers, it enslaves men and women, it brings guilt, it brings condemnation, it alienates mankind from their Creator, and it leads to ultimate death. That's the truth. But the good news is this. Here's the good news. I know that was a lot of bad news right there. But the good news is this. Is that when you get saved, doesn't Jesus make a difference? Amen. When a person gets saved, God's righteous nature is now imparted to that individual, and the Holy Spirit now indwells you. The Holy Spirit is there to show you what is holy and what is not. The Holy Spirit is inside of you to reveal the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And to understand its dreadful consequences. You see, in and of ourselves, we could never understand the true nature of sin. But the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells us, He does understand the true nature and destructiveness of sin. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us will reveal the true nature of sin to us if we yield ourselves to Him and if we allow Him to speak to us through His Word. Go to the next book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, let's begin reading in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2, 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So we cannot truly understand and grasp the nature of God, the nature of sin, these things like this. We cannot fully grasp them in and of ourselves. He says, but the Spirit of God does. He does grasp it. Now look at the next verse. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but he said, you've received the spirit which is what? Of God. That we might, and what's that next word? Know. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, notice, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth. That means he discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Now here's the thing. That's a great question. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know, there's none of us in here that could say, oh yeah, I know the mind of the Lord. You know, but in and of ourselves, we could not say that we know the mind of the Lord. We know that the Bible teaches that those things, like I talked about, the nature of sin, the nature of man, the nature of God, these things, they're deep things. But I want you to notice the end of the verse. Look at the end of that verse. Look at how the chapter ends. He says, but we have the what, church? We have the mind of Christ. Does that say I'm going to get it when I get to heaven? That's not what the verse said. It didn't say we're going to get it one day. No, it says as a present possession, what do I have? I've got the mind of Christ. Why? Because I got his spirit. I got his spirit. Look at verse 10. Look back at verse 10. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that one of the hindrances to living a righteous life and doing the right thing is that we don't grasp fully the nature of sin. We don't get it. We don't understand how destructive and how bad, how wicked it is. In and of ourselves, we don't get that. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he searches out the deep things of God, and he reveals those things to us, and we have the mind of Christ, and the righteous nature of Christ has been imputed to you and to me. And we now have the mind of Christ. And there are many believers and many Christians, and they're headed down the dead-end street of sin because they don't see the true nature of their sin. They don't see the nature of it. They don't see the destructiveness of it. They don't see where it's heading. They don't see where it's leading them. Why? They're a Christian. It's because they're not yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit, and they're not in his word. So they are blinded. When I'm not yielded to the Spirit, and when I'm not in his word, then I am blinded to the true nature of my sin. I excuse it. I tolerate it. I get desensitized to it. And I fail to see the true damage that my sin is doing to me and to those around me. But when I yield myself to the Spirit of God, he fills me with the mind and the wisdom of Christ, and I see the nature of sin. It doesn't mean I don't sin, but it means that if I sin, I immediately see it for what it is, and I want to get it out of my life. I don't want that attitude. I don't want that action. I don't want those words. I don't want those deeds in my life. And I want to do the right thing. And so the Holy Spirit, see, when you're yielded to him, He will magnify, he'll show that to you. He'll show you the exceeding sinfulness of your sin. And you'll begin to get that. The second hindrance to a righteous life is not only that we fail to see the true nature of sin, but number two, the second hindrance to a righteous life is that our minds have been programmed wrong. Before we came to Jesus Christ, our minds were programmed to live independently of God. Like a computer, by the way, I don't care how good a computer you have and what the latest technology is, nobody has ever matched that computer of your brain. Okay? Your brain records every experience you have in life. Like a computer, it records it and it stores it. Newborn babies come into the world, and they've got a clean slate. Nothing has been programmed into their computer. But also, the presence of God, there's no presence of God in their life, and as a baby, there's no knowledge of his ways. So during those early formative years, what happens is, and I think we all can attest to this, is that we learn as human beings to live independent of God. And we learn to do it our way. We get what we want, you know, and we do whatever it takes, and we live independently of God. When we come to Jesus Christ and we get saved, that may be when you're 15, 18, 22, 32, 52, 82, I don't know, whatever age you get saved. But what happens is when we come to Jesus Christ, and we accept him as our Savior, and we get the Holy Spirit and all that, that's wonderful, but our minds are still programmed to live independently of God. There is no delete or clear button that's pushed to get rid of old thinking patterns. And there are all kinds of mental strongholds that have been, by the time you get saved... unless you got were fortunate enough to be in a Christian home and you were saved at a young age, if you got saved later on, or maybe you got saved at a young age, but you still lived independent of God because you didn't grow. And you didn't really grow, and you lived independently of God. You weren't yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, then what happens is all kinds of mental strongholds are raised against the knowledge of God. All kinds of mental strongholds. Negative patterns of thinking and behavior are burned into our minds by habitual reinforcement. They say that it only takes 6 weeks of a repeated activity for it to become a habit. 6 weeks. 6 weeks for it to become a habit and become a stronghold in your life. 6 weeks. When Pastor Shannon has the addictions class on Monday night, and it's a great Bible study. It's good for just so many things. And really, that's what it's about. It's not like he says, and he said it the other night in our membership meeting, it's not just about, oh, you have problems with alcohol or drugs, you know. It's not what it's just about. It's about overcoming those mental strongholds in our life that have gotten there because of years of living independent of God. Do you understand that anything that we do that's independent of God, there's a word for that, and that's called the flesh. The flesh is when you operate and function independently of God. You're not trusting God. You're not depending on Him. You're not trusting His word. You are living independently of God on your own, doing it your way, doing what you feel like doing. And the addictions class that he has is dealing with these issues because, listen, do you have to have been a heavy drinker for 10 years in order to have a stronghold of alcohol in your life? No. No. Like I told you, 6 weeks of a repeated activity, it becomes a habit. It becomes a stronghold. There's no delete button that's pushed in our minds when we get saved that gets rid of those old thinking patterns. So what's the answer? Go back to Romans now. Romans chapter 12. And let me show you the answer to this. Romans chapter number 12. And let's see what Paul said here. Romans 12 and verse number 2. He said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Well, how in the world am I going to change, Paul? How am I going to change? How am I going to break these habits? How am I going to do the right thing and live a righteous life? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's another way of saying doing the right thing that's going to please God. He said, you've got to renew your mind. Renew it. Reprogram your mind. Well, it takes time to renew your mind and to replace the lies that you have believed for years with the truth of God's word. But yet, it should not discourage you. It's not going to take years to be set free. It's not going to take years and years for you to reprogram your mind. No, listen, don't be discouraged. You have, as a Christian, you have all the resources that you need to reprogram your mind with the truth of God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I've talked about it over and over. He's given you the Holy Spirit, and Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. That means that God's very Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, now lives inside of you if you're saved. He's there to guide you into all truth. You read it with me earlier. We have the mind of Christ. And you know what else we have? We've got the Word of God, which Paul said, it is not the word of men, it's the Word of God, it's the truth of God that will effectually work in your life if you'll get in it. You got the Word of Truth, man. You got the Spirit of Truth in you. And the Spirit of Truth will reveal the Word of Truth to you. And you have the mind of Christ. As we struggle to reprogram our minds, the thing is this. We're daily confronted with a world system that is not godly. Look at verse 2. He said, and be not conformed to what, church? This world. As Christians, we can continue. This is very important that you get this point. If we're going to live righteously, one of the hindrances, we said, is not only do we fail to grasp the true nature of sin, but our minds have been programmed wrong. But here's the deal. As Christians, we can continue to allow the world system that we live in to affect our minds. Even though we have the Spirit of truth to lead us, we can still choose to follow the ways of the world. And when we as Christians continue to conform to the world, when we continue to feed our minds with the things that are independent of God, when we fill our minds with music that's independent, it teaches you to live a life that's independent of God. Music is a teaching tool. And when you listen to music that's teaching you to live independently of God, when you fill your mind with you know, the internet and books and TV and all the media out there that's there, you fill your mind constantly with things that are teaching and instructing you to live independently of God, and then we say, man, I don't understand why I'm struggling. I don't understand why I'm struggling to live a righteous life. Well, that's not hard to figure out. As long as we continue to fill our minds with things that are teaching us to live independently of God, we're going to continue to struggle with sin. It's that simple. We're going to struggle. We've got to renew our minds with right thoughts that are in accordance with God's standards of righteousness. It's that simple. It's not. This isn't rocket science. It's very, very simple. What does the Bible say? You know, I realize there are things that are going to come to your mind and to your eyes that you really don't have any control over, because we live in a world system that's evil, and I know that, but I'm going to tell you something. Your eyes can go to something that's wrong, but you choose whether your eyes are going to stay on it. You may hear something that's ungodly, but you choose whether you're going to continue to submit to it and just continue to feed your mind with it. You may accidentally stumble, see something, hear something, whatever that's wrong. But it's like the old saying, you know, that you may not be able to keep a bird from landing on your head, but you sure can keep him from building a nest up there. Amen. And you have things that are going to come into your mind, things that are going to come into your line of vision that's ungodly. But you choose whether you're going to let it build a nest in your mind. And the Bible says, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul writing to you. He says, brethren, whatever is true, if it's honest, if it's just, it's a just thing, if it's pure, there's a purity to it. If it's lovely, if it's of good report, if it's virtuous, if it's praiseworthy, think on these things. If you take that same person who's listening to the wrong things, watching the wrong things, filling their mind with all the wrong things, if you were to take that Christian and they were to decide, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm through with this, I want to do right, I want to live a righteous life, and they begin feeding their mind with heavy doses of the Word of God, they begin to feed their mind with good, godly, Christ-honoring music, they begin to feed their mind with godly books, godly literature, they begin to maybe go and they say, man, I'm gonna go to the website of the church, and I'm going to listen to a sermon on the way to work and on the way home. I'm going to fill my mind with godly preaching and teaching. And you began to reprogram your mind and your thinking. Guess what? You know what happens? Living a righteous life, doing what's right, doing God's will would not come as hard. It would be much more natural to do that. You believe that? I know so. You see, one of the hindrances is that our minds have been programmed wrong. And then quickly, I'm going to give you one last thought. Remember, God's given you the answer. We fail to understand the true nature of sin, but God's given us His Holy Spirit so that we can get it and understand it, and His Word. Our minds have been programmed wrong, but God's got the answer. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us the Word of God to be able to fill our minds and reprogram our minds. But there's one other hindrance to a righteous life, and that is that we do not take the responsibility that is ours. We like to put all the responsibility on God's shoulders. We want God to wave a magic wand and make us righteous. And we put all the responsibility on God and we say, God, help me to do right. And then when we sin, we wonder why God let us down. Well, it just doesn't do any good to pray. If we're going to live righteous lives and be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, yes, absolutely, the work begins with God, and He is the one that supplies all of the power. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I want you to know there is some responsibility that we have to assume. I've heard it said, we cannot do for ourselves what God has already done or will do for us. And on the other hand, God will not do for us what He has called us to do. He will not do for us what He has called us to do. There's a balance there. There can be nothing but defeat and disappointment for believers who expect God to do for them what He has commanded them to do. When we fail to recognize the spiritual matters that we are responsible for, we set ourselves up for disappointment because we will think that either God is not at work or we think God doesn't care. Now let's bring this back to the matter of righteous living. Yes, it must be God's power that enables us to live a righteous life. But you know what? Ultimately, I have control over what I put into my mind. I have control over what I choose to think. I have control over what I choose to put before my eyes. I choose what I'm going to believe. And ultimately, consequently, I choose what I do. I have to take responsibility for what I'm thinking on. I have to take responsibility for what I'm feeding my mind. I have to take responsibility if I'm feeding my corrupt flesh or if I'm feeding my inner man. You know, Paul said that we're to be strengthened by His Spirit with all might in the inner man. The choices you make are either strengthening your inner man or strengthening your flesh to walk independently of God. Those daily choices you're making. One last verse and we're done. Go to 1 Timothy 4, and I want to look at one final verse. 1 Timothy, do y'all know where 1 Timothy's at? I hope you know where that book is. 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse number 7. 1 Timothy 4:7. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And what's the next word? Come on, a little bit louder. And what? Exercise thyself. Exercise yourself rather unto what? Godliness. Train yourself. And isn't it funny how he puts the responsibility right on Timothy? He says, exercise thyself. Exercise yourself. You know, it's like that verse we read back in chapter 5 when we were doing the study here a few weeks ago when he said, keep thyself pure. There's a responsibility there. Keep yourself pure. He says, exercise, train yourself, man, in godliness. Remember what we read? Follow after righteousness. There's a responsibility there, is my point. And we train ourselves in other areas, right? Have you trained yourself to eat regularly? How about sleep? How many of you have trained yourself to brush your teeth every day? I hope we get an amen right there. Y'all shower regularly? Hope I get an amen there too. We train ourselves in other areas, don't we? You train yourself to get up and go to work on time. You train yourself to make sure you get your check from work and deposit it every week, right? We train ourselves in other areas of life, but then we tend to be lazy when it comes to exercising ourselves spiritually, and then we wonder why we struggle. There is some responsibility on our part. There's not a magic wand, right? I mean, don't you wish it was that easy? Man, that'd make the addictions ministry easy, wouldn't it? Hey, show up Monday night, I'm going to wave the magic wand, y'all can go home and we're done. You know, there isn't a magic wand. Exercise yourself in godliness. Like I said, 6 weeks form a habit. And just like we struggle with ungodly habits, you can turn that around, renew your mind, and you can establish a godly habit to replace that within 6 weeks. Doesn't take years. You can do it. So these are the hindrances, but aren't you glad there's hindrances, but aren't you thankful? If we're Christians, if we're saved, aren't you glad God's got the answer? Amen? He's got the answer. We can do it. We can live a righteous life. And again, it's not that you're going to be sinlessly perfect, but when you sin, the Holy Spirit immediately reveals the true nature of that sin. You see, if I'm not yielded to the Spirit, I can treat my wife horribly and it maybe not even bother me. I don't even see how wicked that is, the way I treat her. And yet, if I'm yielded to the Spirit and the Word of God's filling my mind, maybe I snap at her, I treat her like I should, but then immediately I'm convicted and I say, man, that is not the way I need to be treating my wife. You know? Maybe I get upset with Pastor Rob and he does something to upset me and I get offended and I get mad and I get angry at him and I'm holding in hostility, and that may happen briefly. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows me the nature of how wicked that is to hold hostility towards a brother in Christ. And the Holy Spirit convicts me. The Holy Spirit shows me the exceeding sinfulness of that. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to sit down like a man and you need to get that right with him. And I do that. You see, that's what I'm saying. You know, if it happened to me today. It happens to me every day. I'm so clumsy and accident prone. And I don't know how I did it, but I got my finger and I smashed it in a drawer today at the house. I don't know how. I smashed my own finger in the drawer. And how do you do that? I don't know how you do that, but I managed to do it. And I did it all with one hand too, by the way. That was what was weird. And I hollered. Denise goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing." You ever do that? Nothing. You just don't want to talk about it, you know. But you know what? You may have that happen to you, and you let fly some words that don't glorify God. And you know what? That may happen, but immediately the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, that's not righteous. It's not godly. That's not right. And you immediately get that thing right. Why? Because you're yielded to the Spirit. You've been reprogramming your mind. So when stuff comes in that doesn't belong, Holy Spirit says, that doesn't belong there. Get that out. And you say, yes, sir. And you get it out. Y'all see what I mean tonight?